Hope you've had an interesting week. Maybe it hasn't been the easiest week. Maybe it's not been the most difficult week. You know, the most important thing about the time that God gives us is that we learn what we're supposed to learn and that we take the opportunities we're supposed to take, right? Okay. Nothing worse than a wasted week, right? Well, as I was praying and trying to listen about what it was that we need to launch out in for a time, I came to something that I don't like to deal with a lot. I mean, I'll talk about it, but I don't like to deal with it. I've talked about the relationship of God to government. Okay? That's one way to turn this thing that I'm going to talk about, but I don't want to talk about God and government. And I don't want to talk about, I'm not talking about individuals, and I'm not talking about nations nor governments, but I'm going to talk about something that's a lot more messy, but's involved in that. Okay? It's God and politics. Okay? Because politics is not government. You do understand that, right? Politics is maneuvering and schemes and manipulation and power movements and what's that word they use in Israel? Coalitions. Okay? And honestly, even within a government that could be God ordained or God blessed, there's still a lot of messy stuff that goes on, even in that situation, because we're human and people are broke in general. Okay? The world system is not pristine. It is not perfect. It rarely honors God, nor has that desire. We all in agreement with that? Now, you can't see the title. John, I thought that would show up a little better. If John can do something nifty to make that title clear, you can see it. Oh, that one's bad. This one's good. Okay. The title for today's installment of talking about God and politics is "Don't Seek a King," in parentheses, like all the other nations, because you just may get one. And there's a great story in Scripture where which we can find one of those circumstances where that is ringing true. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 8. So if you've got a Bible, please go there, because I'm not going to put it on the screen. It's way too long. And for those of you who are trying to figure out where Samuel resides, it's there before Chronicles and it's after Ruth. First Samuel chapter 8, and I'm going to need some of you to help me, because I really don't want to read this. I want us to read this. So if I can have somebody read Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 5, I would appreciate that, and then we'll press on from there. Okay. We're going to look at this. Got questions. Help me process what we've just read about. Okay? First question. Why did the people of Israel want a king? Okay? Number one, everybody else has got a king. Okay? Now, that's not the only reason. Let's go back. What? Okay? Fight our battles. We want somebody to fight our battles. It started out with the fact that Samuel's own family, his boys, okay, were corrupt, right? Okay. So we got three things. Okay. They're rejecting God. And in rejecting God, what were they What's the, and remember, it's either God or not God. So instead, by rejecting God, what were they doing? Choosing not God, they were going for other things to worship, right? Okay? Okay? Because most of those other nations that had kings, who do they worship? The king. He was a guy. Okay, he was a man. All right. We've got several things that are at play motivating the people to implore for a king. Okay? All right, second question. What are the advantages and disadvantages of kings? All right, what are the advantages of kings? You have a rallying point, okay? All right? Visibility, okay, national pride, okay? Security in what way, okay? There's a predictability to it, okay? No, I haven't gotten to disadvantages yet. No, we're just on advantages. And the other is, you know, we've said, kind of walked around this, but, you know, with a king, there's a central point, right? There is one person making the decision, right? Establishing a kingdom comes with a great cost. Okay? If you have a bad king, okay, you have a bad king for as long as the bad king can hold on, or as long as he lives, right? Your stuff no longer is your stuff, right? It's the king's stuff, and he just lets you use it. That's right. Everything, right? Well, they're subjects, right? Subjects become objects to be used for the king. Okay? Yeah. Well, it's because your stuff is his stuff. He can tell you how much of your stuff you get to keep. Right? Because it's not really your stuff. Next question. So what were the qualifications? Because there is a guy that comes along. God answers the imploring of the people. And he identifies for Samuel, who's an old man by now, old prophet, the person who is going to be king over Israel. So, what were the qualifications of this person that God says, okay, you want one? Here he is. What are some things you know about Samuel? I know he didn't read it, but some of you should know this because you've been in church many, many years. So, you've read the Bible. Tell me about Saul. Handsome, ruddy, okay? When he was chosen, he was God. He was, let's think of somebody you would know. Oh, he was J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans, okay? You see the Play 60 commercials for NFL? This guy, this big hulking dude, Regina saw him last night, thought he was Troy Aikman. She said, thought he was, anyway, big guy, you know, nice, strong, you know, strong chin, blonde hair, short, you know, kind of cropped at the top, you know, big guy, little kid next to him trying to come and knock the dummy over. Can't knock the dummy over because he's huge, okay? The guy's massive, not fat. There's not an ounce of fat on him. It's all muscle. That's Saul. Okay? Was godly at the time. Was this stud, athlete-type looking guy. Okay? Any other qualifications you know of or you can think of? He was what? He was inspiring. Affluent family? Do we know? I can't even remember. What was his daddy's name? Tish? Kish? Okay? Tribe of Benjamin? Okay? All right. So he had a pedigree. All right. Those are his qualifications. Next question. What kind of king was Saul? Well, the whole thing. Double-minded. Okay, the problem with being the strong athletic type is that you tend to begin to believe your own press clippings, right? And you start to think, hey, I really must be special because they made me king. So you can see if they had had billboards, that he would have been the guy who would have always been looking for the paparazzi. That make sense? He was jealous. And we see his jealousy where? With David. Okay? And why was he jealous of David? Okay, David was anointed. Well, Saul had been anointed, right? David killed Goliath. Somebody else was getting press clippings. Okay. So what was it about Saul that was problematic? Okay. All these things we've talked about, but there's the story goes where? Do you remember what the description is? The description is that the Holy Spirit, because it does say the Spirit would come and fall on Saul, but then it would just as quickly be gone. Allowed. Yeah, yeah. Sent. Well, but you know, why do you think that God would allow that? Or let that happen? There are things that you and I encounter that are not good things, right? Why does God allow those things? Would God allow a spirit that was not of Him bother you if you were out of His will? He would allow that with the intention, even though the evil one's saying, goody, goody, goody. Okay? What is God's purpose in that? To get your attention and drive you back to Him, right? But it's a process. It is a process. He gets to a point where it's too far. He always has a chance, but there is a point where God has to do the next chapter. What was the step through which there was no longer a return for Saul? You remember? Calling on Samuel after he was dead. Ah. He went to a medium, which not large or small. Okay, we're talking about the person who goes and tries to speak to someone who is no longer alive. It was a diviner. Okay? Fortune teller, soothsayer, you know, someone. It's not Whoopi Goldberg either, it's not that tame. Okay? It's a serious thing. Now, the issue is, for some people, a spirit manifested itself when the medium called upon it, right? In the story. The question is, if you're going to track that rabbit, do we know that was really Samuel? Just a question. Okay. We know that God was not pleased, right? We know it was a bridge too far. It was a done deal. Saul also took some other things into his own hands also. Exactly. He jumped and made an assumption he should not have and assumed responsibility that he should not have. So we have lots of things here that kind of compound what was going on with Saul as a king, right? Now the question is, could you not see this train coming down the track? Isn't it pretty much in line with what Samuel told him in the first place? But they got that plus some exponentially, right? Okay, last question. This slide. So why would God give Saul as a king to the people of Israel? To uncover for them the error of their ways. The things that they wanted. What was it that they should have wanted? Since we've talked about all this bad stuff now that comes along with the king, what was it they should have wanted? What is it that God said He really wanted them to do? Follow Him. Desire Him. So the issue is, who's on the throne? Right? Is it God? Or is it a guy? They wanted a guy. And immediately, there's going to be a problem. Okay? All right, everybody understand the story? See where we are? Okay, let's move it into a little more contemporary purposes and means now. Next slide. Why do people seek men to rule them? We're broke, we need restraint. Essentially, that's the argument. We need a government because people can't control themselves. What was one of the problems that Saul had with David? I know, gosh, there's a ton of them. Think about the most obvious. Who was Jonathan? Okay. All right. So what was Saul's problem with David? Saul's progeny would not be in charge. Now, for a lot of kings, that's an issue. Because there aren't many kings that are elected king. You become king because your daddy was king or your mama was queen. Right? There's something of this thing about eternity that's built into us, and a human way of doing something about that is Junior's king. Does that make sense? What in Jonathan made Jonathan value David over Saul? Could be. I understand that, but I think you have to remember, Jonathan was supposed to be the next heir. See, that's the way all the other kingdoms work. King, Junior. You know, and then they keep going down the line. And if he was going to be like all the other kings, for him to be a real king, you know, in charge, his son would have to become king. And then part of the thing that got to him was the fact that his son did not show a desire to be king. And again, we are looking at a timeline of things unfolding. When along the line of the relationship did Saul know that? I'm sure that it was not early. Okay? There was stuff, relational time and experiences and events that have taken place that made that clear. Does that make sense? I am not in any way trying to disparage Jonathan. I think Jonathan was a very different person from his father. And I think that's clear in Scripture. But from Saul's perspective, Jonathan was to be the next in line. And all that, though that did not bother Jonathan any, something that Jay's pushing up against, I got to say something about it. You're not going to like it, okay? Because I'm sorry, it's just the way it was. Well, I am, okay? No, it's not. No. All right. Y'all will love me anyway, right? One of the reasons we exist is to grow up leaders. We do that, but we've been on hold for quite a while. And there's a lot of reasons as to why. But the issue is, here, more than any other place I know you could possibly go worship, any other group of people, there are opportunities to step up and shepherd people. Why aren't we where we are? Is that making sense to you? But no one else is going to do it. We can't expect somebody else to do it. We got to step up and shepherd people. And guess what? When you shepherd people, you become a leader. David was shepherding sheep. God saw him shepherding sheep and decided that's the kind of guy that can shepherd people. No one's going to come crown you king around here. Just go find you some sheep to lead. You will end up a leader. Does that make sense? You can't abdicate it because that's who God's called us to be. Okay, next question. Send the emails to me. How well are earthly kingdoms doing these days? See any of them that don't have problems? See any of them that, I'm not so sure we're free of that. Okay? Because we have... And remember, we're not talking about, I'm not going to the government discussion. I'm talking about the politics. We have a lot of politicians, even in our country, that like building kingdoms. Does that not make sense? Okay. Their little kingdom, they're sectioning out, they're cordoning out, then they're trying to expand, right? So we're talking politics. I'm not talking about the God-ordained government idea. Now I'm talking about, and I've been trying to, this is a discussion about politics. Maneuvering. Manipulating. Scheming. Whatever it takes in a negative way, right? Yes. Mary, Queen of Scots. Y'all remember that story? Okay. Oh, yeah, that too. Well, it was not too much later in the story to where you've got Abner and all the other knuckleheads under Saul, who then it was a free-for-all as to who was going to line up under David and who's going to line up under Saul and who was going to deceive who by acting like they were going to line up under somebody else. And then you got David's own son. You got Absalom. It was not, I mean, this is messy. It's politics. Earthly kingdoms right now, there is not a government on the face of the earth that doesn't have issues. There may be some that has smaller issues because they're much smaller governments. But the politics in each nation, there's problems. And the bigger you get, the more problems you get. Right? I mean, isn't that what keeps the news cycle spinning? I mean, if somebody hiccups in Burma, we know about it. Or what's it called now? It's not Burma. Myanmar or whatever, wherever, you know. Again, and then when they change the nation's name, we all, you know, it's kind of like repackaging of, you know, where grand opening. Yeah, they've been open for a year and a half. Grand opening. A re-grand opening or a grand reopening or whatever. Okay, that's what we do when we change the names of nations these days and teams and whatever else. Okay. But earthly kingdoms aren't doing real well, right? Next question. What kind of people should lead our nation? We would like for them to have a relationship with God or at least be humble before God, right? Okay. What else? Is that it? Wise. Honest. Have integrity. Statesman. Okay. In one word, how can we encapsulate all those things? It needs to be a person of character. Not characters, but character. We have had a lot of characters lately, right? I know some of you all have been in Georgia as long as I have. Y'all remember Lester Maddox. There was a man who was a character. I don't know about his character, but he was a character. I remember pictures. I grew up in an era when Lester Maddox was in charge of the governorship in Georgia. There's not a Democrat on the face of the planet that would claim Lester Maddox now. He was a Democratic governor. I guarantee. They'd all claim that he was a Republican and just wouldn't tell anyone. So what kind of people? People with character. We would like it to be godly character because we trust God. That question is, how do we know? Next question. Is it possible for us to elect leaders based on character instead of their promise? Why? The word that comes back to me is one that you all know very well. And that is servant. Okay? I think if we were serious about not making decisions based on promises, and we were serious about making decisions on character, that we would be able to trace back in a person's experience whether they were a servant or not. And if we can't find service in their character, they don't have service in their character. Does that make sense? That is a radical proposition. This is where, go ahead, people are enamored with charisma. Now, I don't mean that in a spiritual sense. I'm talking about the dynamic personality. Okay? And it is not any different in the church in general in America. The dynamic, the charismatic are the folks that people gravitate to, largely the ones who lead big old warehouse churches. Okay? People are, and it's been that way for a long time. Okay? So we've got to be careful as the church that we don't start pointing fingers out there whenever we have done the same thing. We've fallen prey to the same stuff in general, as the church in America. Okay? Is there anything wrong with being dynamic? No. But we have let it take us to Saul, which is why you get Jimmy Swaggart confessing before his congregation. Does that make sense? And that's just an illustration. Okay? Because the reality is, he's just like everybody else. But somewhere else, somewhere you begin to believe your press clippings that you aren't. And it happens in church too. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is because if we aren't the ones communicating these realities, no one's communicating these realities. So when we have conversations with people, instead of talking about politicians, we talk about servant leadership. We try to demonstrate to people as best we can, when God gives us an opportunity, that the kind of people we want are people that show they care about other people first and what they do, and encourage them to see that as value. Because to say that we want to talk to somebody that doesn't value our faith, they're not going to adopt that. But they are going to adopt the fact that a leader would not be self-serving. I have wondered lately, in fact, just this morning too, what would happen if someone were somehow asked to run for president who had never been a governor, never been a politician, never been a business leader, but said, this is a complex situation. I'm a fallible person. I've made my mistakes. One thing that I will and can promise you is I'll do the very best that I can to serve you, to find solutions for problems, to execute the government's laws that are brought before the people and voted on by the people and that are voted by the Congress. I'll do the best I can to see. But beyond that, I understand that, but I'm saying, we don't even have anybody in the fray at any point who will speak like that. That's an issue. That is, and I'm not even sure that there shouldn't be somebody addressing that. They're going to say, oh, it's just the way it is. Yes, but it doesn't mean that everybody just should accept that, right? Which, I guess, what I'm trying to do, and I'm not just trying to raise a stink here, okay? It is, what do we do as the people of God to try to seed into the places where we live and the people we interact with what it ought to be. Because to always acquiesce to what it is doesn't change anything in the politics of life. We can't continue to just say it's just the way it is. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to apply this only to a presidential person. I'm talking about all those people. All those people. Okay? So it, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and don't hear me saying that I'm trying to pick on a particular person. It's a matter of changing the culture of what qualifies. Does that make sense? All right. I'm going too long because we got people backed out the door. Would you be? I'm going to keep up with this, okay? So we're going to go to another story and another nuance of this. Hopefully, you know, this is a place where you live like I live, because we just turn on the news and there it is, right? And it's there. It's constantly beating us all the time. So we got a lot of stuff to pray about and a lot of stuff to consider. Do I have all the right answers? No, I don't. I know that I have desires like you do to see certain things happen. It's just a matter of we've all got to agree that we have to be doing something about it. Right? All right, let me pray, and we'll transition. Father God, thank you for speaking today, and I pray that you continue to speak to us. Lord, help us to encourage one another to take the responsibilities that we have in this nation. Lord, we can have responsibility because we do get a chance to make choices. And Lord, I'm praying that we would hear from you, and we would let you move us and show us opportunities, Lord, that we can speak truth to people so that we can see things change in the way that we deal with this great gift you've allowed us to enjoy. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name.